You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Guys, and welcome back to Planners and Wine. My name is Megan.
And I am Myra. Welcome back to another week.
Yes, so happy to be back. And as y'all are hearing this, it is officially August. And I literally cannot believe we are 8 months into 2022, like more than halfway through this year at this point. Where does the time go?
I was going to say it's downhill from here, but I don't want to jinx it.
This is the best part of the year, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Let's get through the holidays and be cheerful and, you know, not another freaking pandemic happen.
Girl, well, you know, the monkeypox thing has been getting bigger and
another one.
Jesus, if you're trying to end it all, just save it. Like, you don't have to do all this. You can just come back.
It's too much. Let's not have another girl come through and try to swoop through the population again. Enjoy the holidays.
Let's just chill. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to the holidays. Also, like, I just need it. That's why I definitely am on the decorate for Halloween in August train. I haven't started yet, but I plan to because I'm that hyped for the holidays. And I really think, hot take, we really be selling ourselves short by only celebrating the holidays during October, November, and December. Why not stretch it out? You know what I'm saying? It's still special if you stretch it out a little bit longer. You just get to enjoy that holiday spirit for a lot longer. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Let's go. I mean, you know, I agree. I've already started.
Yes, you did. And you already got Halloween candles.
I got the little plug-ins. I have skull plug-ins. I need to buy some candle holders.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm already in there. Already
absolutely
started,
but we're going to be talking about Halloween for the next 2 months. So, y'all about to be sick of us. Buckle up.
And technically it's fall because August is the start of pumpkin spice latte season.
Period. August can be fall. Mm-hmm. I'm all right with that. Like, who cares what the calendar says? I don't. So,
what do the calendar say?
Fall doesn't officially start until like September 21st or 22nd, something like that.
Oh, girl. Bye.
Mm-hmm. We ain't got time.
That's too late.
Mm-mm. It's too late. No. We need it now. Okay. We need it now. Summer has been good though. But I'm just not a real big heat person. Like, if it's going to be this hot, I need to be at the beach or somewhere tropical. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have to deal with this heat and you're not at the beach, it's just ghetto and you're just hot and sweaty and I don't have time for that. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not too much to do around here. I mean, other than like an amusement park. My child isn't like old enough to really enjoy. Yep. I mean, of course, you know, the kid land or whatever, but all I could do is just stand there while he do stuff. So
exactly. And then even those are so crowded and insane during the summertime. You know what I'm saying? So next summer I definitely plan on having some type of really nice vacation or something planned out, because it didn't work out this summer because we just knew we were gonna end up hopefully buying a house, and we did. But next summer I definitely want to have some type of trip or something to look forward to, because when you don't have that in the summertime, it just kind of, it's just all, you know, the heat for nothing basically.
Yeah, that's true. We're planning a Disney trip next summer. And now I'm like, I mean, hopefully the COVID numbers go down.
I think so.
I mean, yeah. We're just going to say it is.
Yeah, we're just going to speak into existence, okay? Yes. But yeah, that's going to be really good. So let's go ahead and get into some Planner World topics. So cultivate what matters. Y'all, yes. I told y'all, I always think about every cultivate time, and create, yeah. And it always just pulls me up. Cultivate what matters. You know, those are the makers of the Power Sheets Goal Planner. They they gave a flip through of their daily planner on their Instagram, I believe. Did you catch that flip through, Myra? I did not. I just saw some pictures from it.
I mean, for the most part, I went to watch it and got what I needed to see.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I just watched like the comparisons from the Power Sheet and the daily planner. That's all mm-hmm. I needed to know.
So
like the side by side.
Oh yeah, because it's a thick'em. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my opinion doesn't change about it. It was never going to be a planner for us. And it's still not. But if anybody wants to try it out, definitely let us know. But yeah, it is a humongous planner. And I guess, I mean, obviously with whatever goal setting stuff they probably have in that planner, plus a full year worth of dailies, plus we're not 100% sure if the weekends are on different are on the same page or different pages. That is
on the same pages.
Oh, okay. And it was still that thick.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, like you said, I don't think it was ever a planner for us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they do have some Planner World people as their customers, but as like a grand scheme of things, these are people that this is the planner that they buy every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're not trying to appeal to like us who hop in and out of planners. Like, this is just a tool that they use. Like, we have passion for this craft,
right?
So I don't know, because it's like, it's fine for it to be that thick if it's never leaving somebody desk,
right so. That's true. I'm just curious of why they jumped to a daily instead of a weekly first, because I feel like most companies
and dated,
yeah, exactly, most companies kind of delve into a weekly before anything, kind of to get their feet wet, and then eventually mm-hmm. they kind of move on to a daily. And I'm gonna be honest, I feel like there has been so much focus on daily planners recently, which I'm not mad at, because I'm loving daily planners right now mm-hmm. too, but I kind of want to see some new stuff with some weekly planners. Like, when is the last time we got like a brand new weekly planner? And I feel like new daily planners are popping up all over the place. So I would love it if some either established companies came out with a new weekly layout next year, or if some new companies want to start with weeklies. I won't be mad at that at all, because weeklies haven't been getting no love lately.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe EC, but I mean, that isn't a layout that we haven't seen before, the vertical compact. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just new to them as a company, mm-hmm. but we've seen that before.
How do you think that would do in a 7x9 size? Would you like that in a 7x9 size?
Well, you know me with the 7x9. It's but
your prejudice against the 7x9.
I do think the people would love to see that.
Yeah,
I really think they would love to see that.
Right. I think that could be really cool. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we've been talking about if they did a like their hourly, but without the hour slot. So basically just like a vertical line. EC had that mm-hmm. at one point back in the day. That would be nice to see that again. So I know a lot of us have been shouting from the rooftops about a vertical lined planner. So who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, the weeklies don't get no love. And I still love a good weekly, but I mean, I guess I'm part of the problem, because my bae right now is daily also. So
I don't know. Personally, EC killed it adding that notes page. If it was diagrammed, it would have been over for the weekly, period.
You know what? Exactly. And you know what? Well, we were talking about that earlier this week, and mm-hmm. I said to our friends that if they do, like, instead of having the notes page next year, if they do it like a full, like, weekly overview page for lazy people like me who don't want to have to buy stickers and set it yep. up myself, because I tried it and it looked horrendous when I did it myself. This is why I don't Bujo. Man, I mean, it's over with. It's over yeah. for the rest of you girls. I'm just saying.
Honestly, when I do plan in my weekly, it's mm-hmm. honestly just an overview.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, clearly, you know, with the daily, you can get into more details of yep. it, but Yeah, with a regular weekly, it's just overview.
Exactly.
So no different.
And that's all I need. So it would be nice. Okay, so I don't want, you know, EC to take this and just freaking run with it, because a lot of the girls love that notes page as it is. A lot of the girls just want a dot grid page. And a lot of the girls like myself want a weekly overview. Maybe give us some options. Okay, maybe don't just jump into it being that. Like, maybe have the option of for it to be two or three different things if y'all are considering that. I'm just throwing that out there, because who knows if they are, but I think it would be really, really nice to have some type of option. Because, man, because like I know a lot of sticker companies have like a weekly overview kit just specifically for the daily duos, but I mean, once you start adding those up and getting a full year's worth, that is very, very expensive. Like, I looked on the Planner Kate website and I literally added up, like, if you bought 52, one for every single week of the year at the regular price, that's like $150 for stickers. And so that is costing more than the planner. That's too much. You know what I'm saying? It's just not an economical thing. Now, obviously, you don't have to buy them all at once, but if you do end up wanting a full year's worth at some point, even if you don't buy it all at once, you're still gonna pay a shit ton of money if you aren't able to catch it on sale. So, yeah, that's just not a. I just don't think I would do that. I do want to try it, but yeah, it just does not make financial sense to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I guess the solution would be to have more options, but then you get into like the money aspect of it too. Like, maybe even having the options where the lines on the weekly is kind of faint, because that's what trips me up when I'm trying to draw them, is the lines. But either do that and have like an option that has the weekly overview, because you know it's gonna be somebody who's like, I don't want the weekly overview.
So that's what, yeah, the, exactly. The just get the line, yeah. Get to the blank one, and leave us the rest of us alone who want it.
But then you get into that. Well, I mean, they do print on demand. I don't know how cumbersome. We just need to hit Tanya up.
That's what I'm saying. If y'all need to have a conversation to.
Yeah, I'm just curious how that works, because I can see how it can get mixed up.
You don't want too many options, because it can be
that
a lot.
Part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's possible because they do print on demand.
Right.
It's not like they're outsourcing all this stuff.
It's not a big ask, but yeah, it can be if they add too many options. That's why I think like a very simple, either getting a weekly overview or like a dot grid or very faint line notes page would be good. Maybe two options tops, because you don't want to get too into the weeds and have it be too personalized, because then that's gonna, you know, push back the shipping time. That's gonna be way more of a burden for the people who work there who have to do this. But I'm really liking it now. So right now, what I've just been using that page for is like a meal planning type of page for the week, and just calling it a day. And I'm basically just using my monthly view as like my overview of what I got going on that week. So
my question is, would you be willing to pay an extra $5 or $10 to have that weekly overview printed for you?
I absolutely would. Because here's the thing, I was already paying an extra $10 to get my black coil that they stole from me.
It always turns back.
So it does. Everything goes back to the black coil. And so, like, now if I've been getting like the spiral bound 7x9 ECs, I've just been getting the silver coil. So they haven't been getting my extra $10, but I'll give it back for this option.
I don't know. Food for thought.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. Yeah. Food for thought. I mean, I would. But, you know, I would probably buy both, honestly.
Girl, yes, literally. Because we like options. I'm sorry. We like options over here. Okay. So what about Happy Planner's new sewing collection? Okay, do they have like a preview of that collection on their website, on their Instagram page? Like, I've seen very few photos of this.
I don't know if they did it on their Instagram page. I seen a YouTube video that one of our friends sent us. That's where I seen it. It's supposed to be a Joann's exclusive, so I don't think it's a preview on the Happy Planner's website.
Gotcha.
But I just threw it up here because I do really like that kind of vintage. It's not on Happy Planner's website.
Okay.
Vintage kind of sewing style.
Even
so
though
I think it's cute.
Yeah, even though they get on my nerves with these exclusives to specific stores, this one really makes sense to be a Joann's exclusive before,
for sure,
because you know Joann is such like it's a store for the sewing girls, you know, because you can get your fabric, you can literally get a damn sewing machine from there, you can get your whole setup from Joann's. So that does make sense. From what I saw of it, I like that on the dashboard they have like the extra long checklist. I think that is a great thing and something that we talked about that they should absolutely just keep for all the dashboards moving forward. Like I already got rid of that stupid color box. Now just keep the extra long checklist because the girls love checklists. And yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of like sewing homebody, which on paper it definitely does make sense to have sewing and homebody kind of be together. I feel like they're kind of similar. I just cannot get over them grandmama florals that they keep beating to death. That's what I'm tired of. Like the color scheme is fine. I love the little sewing things that they got in there. But them grandmama florals have got to go. I'm tired. So, but yeah, I haven't even seen the whole planner, so I don't even know how floral heavy this is. I've only seen like a handful of pictures.
It's pretty floral heavy. I'm going back to that video, but it is pretty floral heavy. So if you're not a fan of the florals, this may be something that you pass on. My concern, because like you said, obviously the florals do fit with this because this is like a vintage kind of older kind of demographic, not like older in age, but just vintage. But I mean, it makes sense with this, but when you've had florals on 75 other releases, it's, you know, it's kind of overkill too.
Literally, but 75, literally 75 releases minimum.
Minimal. But yeah, I'm scrolling through this. Hold on, I gotta mute it. And I mean, it's a pretty decent collection for what it's worth. Okay. It's, you know, you got a mini and a classic size planner.
Can you see me that video?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm literally watching this on like 1.5 speed. They do have a lot of accessories, like this is a cork board and dry erase set. I'm gonna drop the link in the chat.
Okay.
And you know, filler paper and stuff like that. Of course, two sticker books, of course. But I mean, I think they kind of hit the mark with the sewing, just knowing sewing. But
yeah,
this is for a specific demographic. Like if you don't sew, you won't care about this for real.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hope y'all didn't hear all of it. It just opened up super loud.
Oh no, I can't hear it. It did the same thing to me. Yeah.
I feel like they could have did this collection without the homebody florals. I don't know why they didn't call it like homebody sewing, because it's literally the same. But I do, like you said, I like the vintagey look of it. And you know, now I'm looking at it, I guess the florals ain't that bad. So yeah, but if you're not a floral girl, then you're not gonna like this a lot. That's why I don't understand like why they had to have the florals everywhere when a lot of people who sew don't like florals. You know what I'm saying? I guess you just gotta deal with it if you really want this collection.
Yeah.
But it's cute. I like the, because I'm kind of looking at the stickers now and they got some washi strips in the sticker book. Those are cute. But yeah.
Yeah, I think the florals, they could have toned it down a little bit. Like the florals, I remember these being on like certain patterns and stuff. So it's not like abnormal. It's just overkill. But
yeah,
you know, their demographic love the florals. So I mean, I'm not surprised.
They do.
But yeah, I mean, planner looks nice. Planner actually comes with some stickers, it looks like.
It looks like it's given like old school happy planner, like happy planner girls. So that's where I can appreciate it from that aspect, because it's really reminiscent of how their planners were when we were first on to them. I feel like happy planner, you know, everybody started talking about minimalism and it just became such a huge thing in the planner community. And so I feel like happy planner doing a good job at listening to the people or whatever kind of leaned maybe a little bit too far into that, because so many of the planners that have been coming out lately have just been just plain Jane, basic, nothing going on, you know what I'm saying? So I like that they're kind of bringing back more of the old vibe of why people really like happy planners. It's a fun planner. I don't know if Happy Planner is meant to be a minimal planner. Like, I feel like they can have minimal aspects of it, but I don't think a straight up minimal Happy Planner just makes a lot of sense to me, because I feel like that's really what sets Happy Planner apart, is mm-hmm. being a more of a fun planner than a lot of the other ones, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm like looking at the weekly, I don't know if you can see it, like the weekly sets up overall, it's pretty neutral. There's like a little bitty sewing machine and some florals over like the notes mm-hmm. in the bottom left, but that's it for real.
And I think that's perfect.
That's perfect. Yeah.
That's what people wanted. That's what people wanted. We wanted like the fun covers, the fun dashboards, and the minimal mm-hmm. months and the minimal weeks. So I think this definitely kind of encapsulates what we really, really like to see from them.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right with it's given that Happy Planner Girl vibes. Because mm-hmm. even the weekly, even though it's neutral, it's still some aspect of sewing
right.
on these weeklies.
Exactly.
And then you have these, like, the pages that talk about, like, the measurements, different types of stitching.
I was just about to say, the measurement guide mm-hmm. in there and the different type of stitching is really, really cool.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is the Happy Planner that back in our day, this is the Happy Planner that we grew up on. And honestly, like, I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it either.
Yeah.
All the other things have really, I feel like the good outweighs the bad. Like, if I was really into sewing, I could get into this planner regardless of the florals if I wasn't a big fan, because it has so many cool aspects. And then, like we said, it's like classic Happy Planner. You know, I love that. I really love that. I hope they lean more into that classic stuff. I really hope so.
Not that ad popped up as I'm clicking through the stuff. But yeah, I agree. I do hope they get back to that. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't know. Hot take. I feel like the planner community is kind of moving a little bit away from that minimalist style.
Yeah. Well, I feel like... here's what I
think. Although it was never really minimal, but you know.
It's not minimal, but we can't even get into the weeds of what the true definition of minimalism is, because my gosh, we would literally be getting emails. But I think that there are companies that are known for minimal aesthetics. Let those companies do that. And the companies mm-hmm. like Happy Planner that are known for maximalist aesthetics, let them do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get everybody's going to try to appeal to as many people they can for the purpose of sales and business, but the minimal girls do that better and the maximalist girls do that better. You know what I'm saying? Because any company who is minimal, and when they try to do too much, we don't like it, and vice versa. So I feel like it's just, you know, I feel like there's enough companies out here to where you can get what you want from a different company. If you are a minimalist, then shop with the minimalist brands, and if you're a maximalist mm-hmm. maybe shop more with the maximalist brands, you know.
Yeah I mean, this is a really good example of mm-hmm. the direction I feel like Happy Planner should go in.
Yep,
because it is maximalist mm-hmm. but it has that tone down in your week to week, so if you decide you want to go a whole different totally color scheme, you can,
right?
But yeah, right.
It's fun. It's just a fun planner.
It's fun. It's a happy planner, you know.
It's a happy planner.
That's what y'all name is. Like, why did y'all try to go away from that? But I mean, you know, trends come and go, I guess.
Yep, I think so too. Yeah, one of these days maybe we will maybe on a bonus episode we'll talk about what minimalism really means and how the planner community has largely gotten it wrong.
Oh, you're ready to tussle.
That's why I said a bonus. That's why I said a bonus episode. Okay, that's where we say all the offensive stuff. Anyway. Not really.
But yeah, I might pick up a few of these things mm-hmm. if I, you know, my Joann's is slow. I won't see it till September. It's supposed to release tomorrow.
You're not September. That's true. So, playing your Joann's. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's cute.
It is cute. Okay, so as y'all are hearing this day has passed, but we recorded this before National Planner Day on August the 1st. So we have, you know, obviously no idea if we won any awards or anything, but if we did, we'll definitely talk about those on next week's episode. So I just want to get your thoughts, Myra. How do you feel about National Planner Day. Is there anything that you want to say, or what does it mean to you? Any of that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, y'all would have seen the post. Like, I'm planning on doing a post more so about what planning and what the community has brought to me, because, you know, the girls are just going to be like, here's my planner, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of elaborate more on that. But for me, it is more than just the paper. I feel like I found, like, lifelong friends here. Mm. I also found something that I was passionate about, and like found myself very much so creatively, mm-hmm. which isn't just like just the actual planning. Like, it has went far beyond that.
Right.
Helped me to like tap into other things that I like, and share, you know, my creativity with, you know, my little corner of the internet or whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course this podcast, you know, comes from a planner. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I even our friendship, like, obviously y'all, I mean, well, not obviously, most y'all probably don't know, we've actually known each other before mm-hmm. planner. I mean, maybe it did exist, but we ain't know about it, so you know, so, and we stayed like cool and connected
right
throughout the years, but it really came to the planner community where mm-hmm. like the relationship started to grow. So
right,
yeah, I mean, it just means so much to me. Like, the community means so much to me, the planner itself means so much to me, but it's just, it's so much more than that planner, because I mean, I can stop planning today,
yep,
and all the things that I got from the community will still come along with me,
period. That was yeah. so well said, Mara. I totally agree. Yeah. Like, National Planner Day to me, it definitely means, when I think about like just even that title, like when I think of a planner, I'm not even thinking of like the physical product of a planner, mm-hmm. I'm talking about the people. The planner people, literally the people in this community, the people that we have been able to connect with and to have these great and awesome friendships with. Yeah, it really just comes back to that. And that's why I definitely think it's a day for celebration. But I do have a question. Is it like one of those, is it like a real holiday? Like you know how they have like the all those fun holidays? Is it like an official fun holiday, or is it just like a made up holiday? Like, is it recognized anywhere? Like, if I Google National Planner Day, like, is anything gonna come up?
Let's see.
Okay, in real time.
I don't. Yeah, in real time. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But let's see.
Okay, let's find out. Because I honestly have no idea, and I know the first place I heard of it was from Bloom, and I just didn't know
what comes up.
They made it up. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I can type in, I type in, when is National Planner Day? It doesn't even give me a date. It just comes up, you know, Bloom's website, basically. But if I type in, when is National Donut Day? June 2nd.
Mm. See, now, when I looked it up, I just typed in National Planner Day, and the website came up first. And then right under that, it said, what day is National Planner Day? And it says August 1st.
Let me see.
So, I don't know.
And that's not Bloom's website either. It just says National Today.
And it's not Bloom's website either. Yeah. So, maybe Bloom is kind of responsible for maybe bringing it more to the forefront in the planner community, but maybe it was already some type of, you know, one of them fun holidays. I don't know.
It's a whole history on this link that you see. They don't say nothing about Bloom, though.
It says it started selling.
Oh, well,
this
website don't say that. It just says it's reportedly been celebrated since 2018 by planner lovers. Like, there's no mention of that company at all in this.
Oh.
But I mean, it's just one website. I mean,
right? You know. It's just one. Right? Well, yeah. If anybody out there knows, hit us up. plannersandwine@gmail.com and give us more information, because I would love to know like what is like the true origin of National Planner Day.
I love that it says how to observe National Planner Day. One, check in on your planner. Two, start doing it. Three, buy a new planner.
Not buy new planners. They know it so well. They know it so well.
Did Bloom write this?
Probably. Is there a link to the website?
No, there's nothing on there. I don't know. I feel like Bloom would have said that, though.
I know, right? I mean, why wouldn't you? Why would you?
Yeah. Why would Bloom not be all up on here? Who wrote this?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I thought that was funny.
That is funny. That is funny. But yeah, shout out to all the planners in the world. And, you know, I know Bloom has a lot of different things that they were doing for National Planner Day, as well as some other planner companies being involved with that, including Wild for Planners, and, you know, a bunch of other people are involved. So I think they have a lot of cool giveaways. So I hope y'all want something if y'all are listening to this. For I don't ever enter planner giveaways. Do you, Myra?
I got too much shit for that.
That's why. And,
yeah.
That's the reason why.
And then also a lot of these giveaways, like hacked accounts and stuff come from there too. So I just, yeah. If I do a giveaway, it's with the Patreon people, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just easy peasy. Okay, Myra, so what is your current planner setup? I feel like maybe we should just ask each other this monthly on the show, because it changes quite frequently, actually. So for the month of August, what is your planner setup?
I actually planning on putting out a post, so maybe I'll get to actually see it too on my feed today.
Yes.
Well, you know, Thursday, not the Patreon people. But I right now am in my daily duo for the most part. I also am using the A5 Aurora Estelle. And honestly, have I really been planning in that? Not necessarily, but it's super fun to decorate.
Is it a weekly or the daily?
It's a weekly. Okay. Well, I mean, it could be whatever you want. It's not like...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I like it. I like playing around with it. I use it as weekly. Well, you know, decorate it as a weekly. Sometimes I put like little quotes and stuff in there just to write in it, but it's just been fun. But mainly I've just been in the daily duo.
Awesome. Same here. You know, I definitely feel like, because I was in my 7x9 daily duo, I don't know why, it wasn't clicking for some reason. I wasn't in love with it. I was gonna move back to my Moxie Life daily, and then I was like, well, I got these, I have these A5 daily duo inserts, so let me just play around with those and try it. So I got an Otique during their sale, and I put my A5 inserts in them, and I love it. I truly, truly love it. I think the A5 is the perfect size for daily planners. For daily planners.
Okay.
I knew you were going to get excited. No, A5 is a great size. I feel like my one kind of pet peeve is, because I'm right-handed, whenever I'm writing on the left side of the page, I most of the time just have to remove that page from my planner. So that's a little annoying when you're dealing with rings, but it's not a deal breaker. It's not a big deal. And I've really, really, really been enjoying it. So yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been doing, and other than like Notion, that's what I use for social media, but it's been very minimum. I do have that Happy Planner student study habits planner, but that starts this month, so I'm gonna start putting some social media stuff in there, I guess, and see how it goes.
I think that'll be really good. One thing I really love about not being on a spiral bound planner is being able to like personalize it more. So I got some some dashboards from Cloth and Paper that I threw in there, and it's just giving what it needs to give. I love that. I love that you can get like a ready-made planner, but then add some more personalized aspects of it and not just be tied. I think that's why I wasn't really into the 7x9 daily duo, because it was on a spiral, and you just kind of are stuck with how it is. You're not really able to Franken plan or add anything different to it. I do have a 7x9 hourly from EC that should be on the way soon. I was going to kind of use that as like my weekly overview. I'm not sure I really need it, but I just kind of wanted it, so I'm just going to try it out.
Story of my life.
I know, girl. You're literally literally the story of both of our lives, right? And you know what? One reason why I didn't think I was going to be into these, because they are the In Bloom ones. And even though I think they're really, really pretty, I don't know why. I think the floral kind of threw me off at first. So I was like, eh, I don't think I'm going to use these. But there is no florals on the daily pages whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just using the monthly page, like, totally functional. So the floral on that just doesn't bother me. So, yeah, this has been going really well. I think I might stick with it, knock on wood. But we'll see.
You reminded me that I made that monthly with my vertical compact.
Oh, yeah.
I should probably try to use that.
I think you can.
It's cute. It is really cute, but I haven't used it for sure. But I mean, the beauty of August starting on a Monday is that you can start completely fresh, you know?
I know. I love that. I do kind of love when the new month starts perfectly on a Monday. It's it's just very in sync. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. But yeah, guys, on that note, we are going to take a quick break for ads and we will be right back.
The Gooseby Twins will be hosting their first annual Back to School Drive in Lawndale, California on August 7th. This event is in partnership with Full Circle Athletics and sponsored by Erin Condren to benefit 300 kids and 100 teachers as they get ready for the new school year. Not only will school supplies be provided, but also haircuts, hair braiding, and nail services to local kids in need. If you would like to support this event, please visit the link in our show notes, or you can go follow Gooseby Twin Plans on Instagram and check out their link in their bio.
Hey, Planner World, thanks so much for supporting Planners and Wine. If you are looking for more amazing content, make sure you head over to our Patreon page. We have exclusive bonus episode, exclusive content, and an amazing community that you cannot find anywhere else. Now is also the perfect time to join because we may or may not be debuting an exclusive Patreon-only spinoff show in the coming weeks. Just letting you know, you ain't here for me. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and check out the link in our show notes and get signed up for our Patreon today. We'll see you over there.
All right, guys. So we are back. Okay, so let's talk about Instagram because Myra's man, Adam, came back and hit us with the flex once again. And we kind of have the Kardashians to thank for it. So, Myra, do you know what were the changes that were about to come to Instagram that have been put on pause?
They were, like, certain users got it, but they basically was going to make the feed large, like TikTok, like how you hop on TikTok and it's over the whole screen.
Right.
They were going to try to do that, and a few people got it. And they canceled the rollout for that completely. And then they also scaled back the suggestions.
Girl, first of all,
which I agree with y'all.
That I was about to say, it was too much. And okay, so a lot of people are really attributing like this to the Kardashians because Kylie and Kim were vocal about their dissatisfaction with the changes coming to Instagram. And then all of a sudden, you know, Adam gets on and tells us that they are putting those on pause, even though a lot of people obviously feel the kind of type of way about this because a lot of us have been kind of shouting from the rooftops that it was just too much too soon, like they need to slow it down, have it be more balanced. I think most of us, even, you know, people who weren't really upset at the changes could get on board that it was just a lot in a very short amount of time and there was just no balance and really not a lot of consideration for just regular consumers who were not content creators. So the fact that it took the Kardashians saying something and then it immediately, so we'll never know if he had already planned on, you know, kind of rolling some things back or if it was really the Kardashians and their influence that had something to do with it. But there were a lot of celebrities who were extremely vocal about this stuff in Instagram. So I definitely think, even if it wasn't just the Kardashians in particular, I definitely think the celebrities and their influence had some, like celebrities in general, I feel like it was, they had a lot to do with why Adam and them and the team finally started listening and was like, okay, we don't want to piss off all the celebrities. So what do you think about that though, Myra?
I think it may have had a huge part in it because in a sense, celebrities are content creators. They're just larger, much greater, big content creators. So they are part of the money in the ecosystem of Instagram. So I, you know, I think it was a combination of everything. It just kind of looks bad when Kim and Callie posted it, and then y'all are like, all right, you know, so it just kind of looks bad that the way that that worked out. But yeah, I mean, I am one of those people that wasn't like completely upset with the changes, but I can agree that one, they dropped the ball on remembering people who aren't creators and just casually are on Instagram. They completely left them out of the conversation. And just to suggest it was overwhelming. I didn't even mind the suggestions. Yeah. I found great creators from suggestions that I have fallen in love with since finding them.
Right.
When 2 out of 3 posts are suggested.
Girl, it was insane. Like, it was.
I literally had to put y'all on post notification or else I would not see y'all stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, literally, that's why, that is one of the reasons why, well, that is really the reason why I stopped scrolling my feed. Like, I didn't stop scrolling my feed because of reels. You know what I'm saying? Like, I stopped scrolling my feed because of those suggested posts because I was not seeing the people that I follow. So I was like, well, what the hell is the point? Like, I'll just stick to the stories. Hopefully, whoever I follow is reposting whatever they're doing in their stories. So I can just go to their page from there or whatever. And because it was just, oh my God, it was so overwhelming. So I appreciate the fact that when they made that change, it was like immediate. Like now, if I go through my feed, I don't see really any, barely any suggested posts. Because it's kind of like, what's the point of still having the Discover page if they're doing, like, you don't need both. You don't need all these suggested posts and the Discover page. And honestly, I still, you know, back from, you know, old school IG, I still really depend on my Discover page for how I discover new pages and stuff because I'm just so annoyed with the suggested, I stopped scrolling my feed. It was insane. So yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. I'm glad no matter what it took, no matter who it was, like, I'm glad they kind of started listening more because it just needs to be balanced. It just needs to be balanced. Even if it's just one-to-one, even if I see one person I follow and then one suggested post, that's better than what it was. Cause it would just be suggested somebody that you actually follow. Suggested somebody who's real you liked 5 months ago. Here's their page again. Or because you like this other person's page, here's this other person's page. Like, it was just so overwhelming. It was just doing way too much. It was doing way too much. So I don't know if it came from the Kardashians or what it came from, but you know, I'm grateful that they made the right decision on that because it was just too much. It was just too, I feel like that suggest, like, they wanted your feed to kind of mimic your TikTok For You page because obviously your For You page is majority of people that you don't follow. Every now and then you'll have some people that you do actually follow on your For You page, but is the vast majority is people you don't follow. So I kind of feel like they were trying to kind of come from that angle again, but we don't really want that from Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get they have to try to keep up and, you know, see what other people are doing to make sure their stuff is staying innovative, but they gotta have the balance to be able to keep people happy for the reasons why we like Instagram in the first place while still growing and evolving. And I feel like you can do both. Is it harder to do both? Absolutely, but I feel like it's worth it to at least try it because there's just been a lot going on. And you know, I know you love you some Adam, but Adam got to chill.
Adam's stressed. You see the 5 o'clock shadow coming in, he's stressed the fuck out.
Well, Adam, but, ain't nobody telling you to change Instagram every week, bro. Like, just chill a little bit.
Hope they did get the message to like slow it down because like I said, I'm not opposed to the changes. It just was overwhelming. And then with the suggested, it wasn't really that great either. Like, my discovery page or Discover page was far more better and far more on par.
Yes,
it suggested.
Yep. Like, I feel like I was getting lied to on the suggested page because it would be like, this is suggested to you because you liked so-and-so's reel 3 months ago. Well, not, we don't tell you the time, but it's just like, this is just you like this reel. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I would be like, I don't think I like that, though. Like, I really, like, obviously, I don't remember everything that I like.
Right.
But it'd be some stuff where I'm like, I know I was never on this person's page, and I never liked this. So I felt lied to.
It was so out of left field. Before, like earlier on, like I said, I found some great creators from suggested, but like a few days ago, like, it was some talking puppets in my suggested. What? Where did that come from? When did I ever like anything like that? I don't know. I don't know if they pay, like, if creators were paying to be pushed more and suggested. I don't know. But yeah, it was out of control. I can
agree. Out of control. Yeah. And like I said, like, there is just no reason for it for so many with the Explore page also. So I kind of feel like they were maybe moving into getting rid of the Explore page because they literally serve the exact same purpose. And if you're going to have so many suggested posts, like, there's just no reason to have the Explore page. But then you really do get almost a carbon copy of TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Where the majority of the things on your normal feed is not stuff that you follow. It's literally TikTok's whole thing, except they just do it better. Like, you don't have to give me a reason for why you're suggesting this to me. If you think I like it, just show it. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, a lot of those I would be like, I didn't like that person's reel. So where did this come from?
Yeah, it was just like you said, that is the motto, because honestly if I scroll through TikTok, I don't even move over to like my friends.
I don't either.
It's only on the For You.
I'll make it by accident, and then once I start seeing so many people I recognize, I'm like, oh wait, shit, this is not my For You
page. Yeah, but that is the, like, at least for me, that's how I hopped on the TikTok. That's the nature of it. But with Instagram trying to change it, that's not the nature of what most people are used with Instagram.
I know. Yeah. It's like people like things. People like things for the original reason that they like them a lot of the time. And it's like, like, Instagram has always been a social network to connect more with our friends and family, maybe people that aren't in our day-to-day life, but we still want to keep up with them, see what they're up to. And it's kind of evolved into, especially for us through the planner community, into this place where we can find new people to keep up with and connect with and stuff. Whereas TikTok, you know, we have, like, that's just not an aspect of my use of TikTok. Like, connecting with other people. Like, I don't connect with anybody on TikTok outside of the comment section. Like, I'm never talking to people in their DMs on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not even the nature of, and the only time I'm even using my DMs on TikTok is, like, me and my cousin are always sending each other TikToks. My cousin, my blood relative, not a random person that you know, where you talk to random people all the time.
Even tell you how to get to the DMs on TikTok.
They such a non-factor. They are such a non-factor. But then, you know, like, because we talk a lot about Instagram, TikTok has been doing some things too, kind of trying to steal IG's thunder a little bit. You can post pictures on TikTok. They have stories on TikTok now. I don't pay attention to stories or pictures on TikTok. You know, if I want that, I go to TikTok for that. I mean, I go to Instagram for that. So, you know, I just want you. But I feel like the difference is, TikTok is not letting how they're trying to kind of take a few things from Instagram. They're not having that take over their whole platform. They're still staying original for the most part to why we love TikTok. Whereas Instagram is having all these changes that are kind of trying to take over TikTok's whole platform. And it's like, maybe fall back.
I have noticed with TikTok, like, if you're scrolling through the For You page, sometimes people's stories will pop up. I don't know, I noticed that. But I also just keep scrolling because that's not what I'm on TikTok for.
I don't care.
I do that on Instagram.
I don't know y'all. I don't want to see that.
That's the purpose. I feel like with stories, like, even like as a creator, if I'm doing something up on stories, like, I share, like, me trying a new overnight oats. I'm never going to put that on my main feed.
Exactly.
Because they don't know me and they don't care. Most people are going to see that. But the people who know me are going to be in my stories. And 100%. Who cares about that? So, I mean, it makes sense. I get it. Hopefully, they can go back to the drawing board. Like, again, I don't mind the changes. Yeah, I know I don't mind reels.
Right.
Yeah.
Just slow down. And keep the balance. Like, I think that reels are super fun and they can be really a really fun part of Instagram as long as they are still balanced with with, you know, just regular still photos that a lot of us really, really like still. So I don't know, man. Yeah, but at least Adam got the message. Shout out to Kim and Kylie, I guess.
Yeah. The only thing is, I feel like the people who are like, I'm boycotting Reels feel like they won. And like, girl, I'm going to let you know, Reels ain't going nowhere.
I was
going
to say, the thing is, really don't have a ton to do with Reels. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? And, you know, our girl Julie, she rightfully pointed out in her stories the other day that, you know, a lot of the people who are complaining about Reels are not even giving and want more engagement on their still photos, are not even providing that engagement on other people's still photos. And if you make a concerted effort to go through your feed and like a bunch of still photos, you will start to see more still photos. That is, you're not going to see only those. That's never going to be the case. You're just never not going to only see those, and Reels aren't just going to disappear, but you will see more if you interact with more. So
yeah, it's just so ironic to me, the people who would literally leave dissertations on in the Reels comment and then share Reels about hating Reels. So why the algorithm isn't a human? If you're sharing Reels, you're talking about Reels, they're gonna be like, oh, this person like Reels. So now you get more Reels, and now you're in this cycle that, oh, the algorithm is pushing Reels to me. Like, no, it's you.
It's you. The algorithm you're interacting
with them.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I don't know. I feel like post whatever type of pictures you want. And it's like, especially if your goal is not to be an influencer and not to make money off of social media, does it really matter if you get 50 likes versus 100 on a picture? If you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're just doing it for the fun of it and to share a creative outlet, which a lot of people say that that's why they're doing it, why does it matter how many likes or engagement it gets? Like, the people who want to see it, the people who seek out your content and care about your content are probably going to see it. So, you know, I posted a still picture today, like the first time I have in months. And it's like, I didn't give a second thought to, oh my gosh, you know, I haven't been posting. I guess my engagement is, you know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? Like, I wanted to share it because I think it's cute. And that's what I did. And I don't care if five people see it or 10,000 people see it. It doesn't make a difference. You know, I truly don't. So
I think the difference is you've come to that realization that it doesn't fucking matter. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Literally. Kind of
realization.
Literally.
But I think a lot of people need to come to that. And it's strange because even typically when I talk about Reels and like this kind of push to like kind of embracing it and seeing what you can do, like put your own creative spin to it, it's typically a lot of people who don't create content that give the pushback. It's like, this one ain't for you. Mm-mm. Like, I appreciate you, you know, commenting and supporting me, but this one was for the people who are creators. And I think a lot of folks kind of take that stuff kind of personal, I guess.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not always personal. It's not personal. If it don't
apply, let it fly. Like, literally.
And do the same thing you've been doing. Mm-hmm. If you've just been liking pictures, continue to keep liking pictures. Right. Yes, you're going to see Reels. It's not going nowhere.
No.
Reels aren't going anywhere.
No.
But you will see more pictures if you continue to interact with stuff like that. But commenting on Reels, about Reels, when you don't like Reels,
it's not doing what you think it's going to do.
Yeah, it's not.
Like you said, the algorithm is not a human. And if you're interacting with them because you hate them, you're just going to see more because you're interacting with them. You know, that totally makes sense. And you know what? One of the best things I think I've learned in life, my life so far, is to not worry about the things that I cannot control. And I know that is easier said than done, but especially when it comes to really small things that in the scope of life and our like existence on this ghetto planet just do not matter. And social media is right up there. It is right up there with the things that ultimately just do not, especially if you're not a person who is making a career out of social media and you are on here on just a completely voluntary for fun basis, stuff doesn't matter. Like, did I initially love the big push towards Reels on Instagram? Not really, but I just didn't worry about it. I was just like, okay, well, I guess this is happening. And what did I do? I didn't spend my days making posts and complaining to anybody who would listen to me about it. I just stopped scrolling my feed and found other ways to utilize Instagram that still made me happy until I got more used to them. And so I started seeing more and seeing my friends making them and seeing Reels that I really liked and enjoyed interacting with. I just didn't pay no attention to them. I didn't let them, you know, bend me out of shape or keep me up at night. And I feel like more people need to have that mentality of, in the scope of things, this does not matter. And if you hate what's going on Instagram so much, you could always just log off and just not be on Instagram. That's why the majority of us have moved away from Facebook and only use it on a very limited basis, because we didn't like what Facebook started doing with all their changes and stuff. So we just kind of started ignoring Facebook. You know, like, you can do that as well, you know? So, and I know, I feel like I get it, you know, people really love Instagram and don't want to give up on it, but if it's not serving you and if it's bringing you more, you know, strife and stress than it is joy, then log off, you know? That really is that easy. It really, really is. So I would rather do that than spend my days complaining about, like, either learn how to deal with it or just log off, because complaining really has, like, Adam didn't do nothing different because of us in this planner community. He didn't. We had no effect
whatsoever.
Because if it was up to us, he would have did this a long time ago. Because y'all been shouting from rooftops.
Period.
About this, you know.
Yeah, I think it goes back to that nostalgia aspect of it. Because you know, a lot of the planner community kind of grew with Instagram, right? You know, and now we're moving away from that, and it's like you said, either, you know, this is no longer serving you, you need to move on, or you know, we as a community can find different ways to connect with using what Instagram is going with, because again, we're just a little tiny blimp on the radar when it comes to what Instagram is worried about. So complaining about it isn't going to change anything. We either need to make changes to see how we're going to connect with each other with what we got, or, you know, if you don't want to do that, then just leave.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, feelings are valid to miss the old, you know, planner community or whatever.
Right. But complaining about it constantly is just really not helping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I mean, anybody who just really hates Reels and does not want to see Reels, like, what y'all could do, y'all could hop on over to Facebook. You could make a Facebook group totally dedicated to seeing planner spreads. I'm sure it's already a million of them. Hell, you can make a new one and do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, be solution oriented rather than just complaining all the time. That's really what I'm trying to get at. Not that anybody shouldn't be upset or their feelings aren't valid, but it's like, just try to figure out a solution. So whether that's leaving the platform, whether that is, you know, learning how to deal with it, or whether that is, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, kind of figure out what you want to do to move forward and how you're going to make sure that you're still getting what you want to get out of Instagram, rather than just being angry all the time. Like, for what? For what? Adam not listening. He listened to the Kardashians. Okay.
Gag if we, like, turn on the Kardashians and they have, like, a happy planner or an EC.
Girl, I can't.
We know you go know. So funny. We know you go take a screenshot and let us know. So if that does happen. Let us know.
That would be crazy. You know what? I can see the Kardashians with the cloth and paper, like, agenda. You know, like, something very minimalist. I can't see them with stickers and all that. I think they would be very minimal and chic with it, but they have no use for planners. Their assistant probably has a planner to plan out their days. They're so freaking rich.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, I'm not
boring. I don't want to ever be rich enough to never need a planner.
Imagine you're rich enough to have an assistant, so we have a planner for our assistant.
Hey, girl, write this down. Thanks.
I picked this out for you.
Literally.
Please only use gel pen in this. Do not pick up that ballpoint.
Girl, if I see you with a blue ink pen writing my agenda for termination, the day, we're going to have a problem. Instant termination. Oh my gosh. So something else I want to talk about, because this is kind of becoming up on, I've seen it a little bit on the internet, like, since the second Black Panther movie trailer came out. I listened to this one podcast called Higher Learning with Van Lathan and Rachel Lindsay. Rachel Lindsay was the first Black bachelorette, and Van is, like, a very big, like, Marvel stan. I feel like I'm a decently big Marvel stan, probably not as big as him, but I'm decently into Marvel or whatever. And he has been shouting from the rooftops about why they should have replaced Chadwick Boseman's character T'Challa in the sequel of Black Panther. From what we have seen of it, There seems to be somebody in the movie who is going to be picking up the Black Panther mantle, but that person is not a T'Challa replacement. That person is a new Black Panther and not somebody who is stepping into Chadwick Boseman's character. So I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that, Myra, and see, like, do you think, or if you want, I can kind of share what I think first, since I'm the one who's been thinking about this for weeks. Yeah, so I would just kind of think, is do you think they should have replaced him? My Van is very heavily on the side of yes, they should have replaced him. They're basically saying that even though we love Chadwick Boseman, we're super sad about his loss, that the character of T'Challa is too meaningful to the whole Black Panther saga, and that his character shouldn't just be done. My thinking is one, Chadwick Boseman just died like not too long ago. It hasn't even been 2 full years. So it was probably very fresh for the cast and all the people involved and very hard for them. And also, I don't feel like this takes it off the table of ever replacing T'Challa. Maybe just in this Black Panther series, there's not going to be another T'Challa. And I'm okay with that. Like, I feel like that's how it should be. I feel like that was Chadwick's character. I'm a huge fan of Chadwick Boseman. I'm still super sad about his death. And I feel like this soon after he passed away, had they had somebody step into it as his character and his role, I think it would have been a really big letdown. I think no matter who they got to do it, no matter how good of a job they did, everybody would have been comparing him to Chadwick Boseman, and it wouldn't have been good. And it would have been disappointing. And I think that Chadwick and his character deserves a movie to just celebrate his life and acknowledge the humongous loss to him, and not just fill him in as if he's any other player. Like, and I kind of feel like, say if it was in another Marvel movie, say if, you know, Robert Downey Jr., God forbid, would have passed away, you know, while they were still shooting, you know, his part of the, you know, Iron Man and his part, that once his character was still involved in that, they wouldn't have just replaced him. So why would we expect them to just replace Chadwick Boseman like that? They wouldn't have done that. I don't believe that, you know?
I'm still grieving that Iron Man is dead.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, it's been 3 years, y'all.
Y'all should have seen Endgame by now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still exactly. grieving that. But right, I think a good right. point that you're saying is that we kind of need that time and space to move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a huge thing that I don't even think that has been brought up. There's still the multiverse.
Yes. Good point. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there could be another
T'Challa in another universe.
In another Earth 136, whatever.
Right.
So we still have that option there. So, I mean, the answer is no, I don't think that Chad would need to be replaced. I think, honestly, I'm really excited because it seems like there are honoring Chadwick mostly in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see who kind of picks up this mantle in this movie.
Right.
And then maybe down the line we can go to another universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be somebody else then. But
right.
I don't know. The same reason that Van is saying that the Black Panther is so, you know,
iconic,
such a movement, iconic, is the same reason why I say no.
Exactly. It's not that simple with him. Yeah. And it's like, think about how many Batman movies we've gotten over the last 30 years and how many different people they have had to play Batman. You know, fortunately, you know, within the Batman series, there's never been a situation where the main character of Batman, like that actor, passed away. Mm-hmm. And they had to think about whether or not they were going to replace him. But once again, I think in a lot of these situations, they didn't. Like, they wouldn't have. Like, they would not have replaced. They didn't replace Heath Ledger when he passed away after The Dark Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like, who knows if he could have had a role in the next Batman after that? We'll never know because they didn't replace him because he died. They just let that character just go for that time period. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just think it would have been not disrespectful, but I do think it would have been just a subpar movie this close after Chadwick's passing, not even 2 years, to see somebody else playing his role as if he wasn't there. I feel like the character's too big, the movie's too big and meaningful to all of us, and Chadwick Boseman is just too meaningful and special to all of us for that. So I'm glad we're on the same page about that, because I really want to write to Van on like his comments or something and be like, Van, can you let this go? This movie would have been so terrible had they just stuck another black man in there to be T'Challa. Like, I truly believe it would not have been as good. I truly believe that.
I keep think that Van probably would think the same thing. There's going to be a lot more people upset about the replacement of Chadwick.
It would have never been good enough. Whoever they chose would have never, ever, ever been good enough. It's too fresh. It's too hurtful. Chadwick's death was too sudden and out of nowhere. Like, it would have been horrible. I really think the movie would have suffered if they would have did that. So, and like you said,
let the people grieve.
Literally. And there's the multiverse, or, you know, in another, why does this have to be the one and only time they do a Black Panther film series? They can do another one and get another person to be T'Challa in the future. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, even though I think it's going to be, girl, it's going to feel like a funeral. It's going to feel like a funeral. I'm not ready.
I'm curious, because, you know, Shuri, the person who played Shuri, she had some questionable things about the COVID vaccine. So I feel like naturally they would have gave it to her, because that is how it is in the comments too. But I don't know, girl, because it looked like she got her shit in order, because she's still in the movie.
I don't think she ever got vaccinated. So for anybody who don't know, the person who plays Shuri, which is the Black Panther T'Challa's little sister, Shuri, her name is Letitia Wright. She's an actress, and she is originally from the UK, I believe. And while they were filming, she had to go back to the UK. And in order for her to return to the United States, they wanted her to get the COVID vaccine, because that was just what was going on in the world. And I think that studio in particular even had the stipulation of her having to be, everybody on set having to be vaccinated, and she refused. And so, like, production was literally halted for a little while because of that. So we didn't know what was going to happen with this movie. We didn't know when this movie was going to come out, if she was going to be able to finish filming, and we really don't know. So I don't even know if the footage that they have of her is stuff that they, you know, got maybe before then, because, you know, editing is really tricky. Yeah, they can make it look like in the trailer that she all over that movie, and we could see the movie, and she could be maybe in five scenes, which would let us know that they just kind of really limited or minimized her role because of that, because she wasn't there and they couldn't get her to get vaccinated or whatever to film. So yeah, that's gonna be really interesting to see.
Yeah,
what ended up happening with that?
Because I don't know. I feel like she at least got in line, because she was very, very vocal, then all of a sudden, nothing.
And then she was at Comic Con when they played the trailer with the rest of the cast and everything. So
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, that Disney money long, girl. I mean, I shut up too,
girl. I was mad at her for fumbling that bag. I was like, girl, pick the bag up. Pick the bag up and get vaccinated. Pick the bag up. Like, what you doing? What is you doing? So yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see that movie, but
I'm excited for it.
I am too. Last but certainly not least, Beyonce's Renaissance album dropped. Myra, you wanna give us some thoughts on Beyonce's Renaissance album?
Hot take, this might be my favorite Beyonce album.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I was a self-titled stan.
Okay, yes.
But this is the first album, like, even on self-titled, there are some songs that I skip. This is the first album that I can play all the way through.
Period. I love that. So
it might be. I mean,
yeah.
That's not official, because I still need some time to marinate it with it, but it is really, really good.
It is really, really good too. I love it. I love how it's such, like, a different sound than we're used to for Beyonce, and it's giving what it needs to give. It is too early to tell, like, where it will rank as far as, like, my favorite Beyonce albums. I think she's had 7 total albums. Like, I'm on Spotify right now. 1, 2, 3, 4.
At least her, just her production.
6, 7. Yeah, just her. And I'm not counting, like, the Jay-Z album. I'm not counting the Lion King album.
Yeah.
So this is her 7th solo album, basically. It's probably definitely in the top four. I could safely say now. I just don't know where it's going to be, because I've never been a big fan of Dangerously in Love, that album. I've never been a big fan of Sasha Fierce, so I know it's above those two for sure. I'm just not where I think my Beyonce album up until this point is probably either Four, Self-Titled, or Lemonade. I'm not really sure. I always just, those are my top three. Yes. Yeah. Girl, period. Period. I'm a later Beyonce. I'm not an early, I like some early Beyonce, right. But I wasn't a Beyonce like stan until Four came out. That's what really got me on board with the Beyonce train. So yeah, but I know it's going to be amongst those somewhere, but yeah, I love it. I think it's a super, super fun album. And apparently it's the first in a series of three albums. Did you see that?
No. Yeah. I can't handle this.
Girl, why she doing all this?
She is pulling wigs all the way back.
Beyonce, like,
what am I supposed to do?
She said, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Okay, that is what Beyonce said.
I just restarted the Beyonce fund because I figured she was woke enough to not, you know, have a concert during COVID. So yes. I just now started it back up. Mm-hmm. So who knows? We might get some concert dates.
Girl. Because you see, if you go to like her Instagram page, in her bio, it says Act 1 Renaissance out now. So there is an Act 2 and an Act 3.
How do we know that?
She said somewhere else she said there's one first of three. I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's on her website or where, but somewhere else she for sure said like the first of three, something like that. Oh yeah. So if you go to her website, you know, she had posted picture of her kids and her, and then a picture of her parents or her mom and her uncle, I believe. And she said this three act project was recorded over 3 years during the pandemic. And this is Act 1.
You remember when a lot of people were like, everything's closing down, this should be your time to get busy and create. I think she took that shit to heart.
Period. We ain't seen B in 3 years, literally.
She was like, you need to be creating your business. She said, bet.
She took that on with it. She took that. Three albums, girl. Three albums. I love Beyonce so much. Like, we don't deserve her on this ghetto planet. And I put this on my Instagram story the other day for those who missed it. Imagine thinking that Beyonce not one of the best things that ever happened to this ghetto planet. I'm not saying she's the best thing, but she definitely one of the best things that ever happened to this ghetto planet. I'm sorry. I'm just going to stand down for a minute. Like, I love her. Like, she is so creative and so talented and just so amazing and so black as hell. I just can't get over it. I just love Beyonce so much. She can do no wrong. Like, my husband literally, like, before the album came out, he asked me, he was like, so what you gonna do if you don't like the album? I said, babe, if I don't like this album, there's something wrong with me.
Period.
I need to do some inner work. It's not Beyonce. The music is good. The music is amazing. The music is there. It's a personal issue. If I don't like this album, and I need to do some reflection. I literally told him
that. I wish more people will adapt that. I think a lot of people are saying like, oh, it's not the usual Beyonce. You know, I'm like, I don't want Beyonce to keep giving me B-Day.
She don't have to
for
do
57
that.
57 hours. You know?
And people will be complaining. I feel like that's where a lot of artists mess up. They have a really amazing body of work and then they try to replicate it and you can't. Some things are just so like her album Four or Self-Titled or Lemonade, those were literally like lightning in a bottle. You cannot replicate the magic. You can't hear those again for the first time. So we will be bored to death. Well, I mean, if it was another artist, we'd be bored to death if they tried to repeat that. Well, Beyonce is still gonna slap. But I'm glad
some of the greatest. For sure. I think some of the greatest artists that we have seen have maybe accepted the fact that, okay, I made this. In Beyonce's case, I made Lemonade. That's that project.
Yep.
Y'all can re-listen to that shit. Jay-Z does the same thing too. Listen to that old shit. If y'all want the old Jay-Z, I'm on this.
Yep. Moving on.
So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I honestly Kanye too. I know we.
Kanye too. Prince, Michael Jackson, all these artists who were constantly reinventing themselves and reinventing their work, making it something new, something fresh, something that people had never really heard before, especially not from them. Like you said, girl, if Beyonce had literally just been remaking her first album all these years, I would not be a Beyonce fan, because I was not a Beyonce fan when the first album came out. I thought Crazy in Love was cute. Had a couple bops.
It was just cute.
On Dangerous in Love, B-Day had a bunch of bops. I said, but like you said, everything has been a totally different body of music. And it's because like all these different things, like she's in different phases of her life. So why would she still be making the same music from 10 years ago? Just because y'all
I can understand that concept for yourselves. You're not the same person in high school, but Beyonce supposed to be that same bitch.
And she's not.
She's not. And that's what I appreciate. And it's okay if you don't like this style of music. It's
totally okay.
It's okay, but you have to just accept the fact that this one is not for you. You come back next act.
You got two more acts to get it together. To get prepared for the tour, okay?
But that's art. It's, you know, reinventing, creating something new, you know, putting something else out there. Like, why are we having the same thing?
Exactly. And why do we want the same thing? That's just not fun. And that's just not what a true artist does. They're not going to keep recreating the same thing. That's just because they know that's the easy thing to do. And that's what people like. It would be so easy for her to make Lemonade Part 2. You know what I'm saying? But she doesn't want to do that. She wants to make something else. And I'm willing to bet Act 2 of this is probably going to be very different than Act 1. Mm-hmm. I really don't think it's just going to be a continuation of this same style of music. I bet it's completely different. So, but it's still going to slap regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that I like about her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a true artist.
She is absolutely. If I had to make a prediction about what I think the other two acts are going to be, I would think that maybe Act 2 is kind of going to be more of the R&B style Beyonce that people really like. I feel like Beyonce cannot help herself, and she loves making those type of songs. And then on every single album she's made, no matter the style of the album, she's always had some type of R&B songs as well. So I could see her coming out with that, and then maybe on Act 3, maybe some more poppy, like radio type of songs again. You know, I could kind of see that too. So I don't know. But I mean, I can't wait. I'm excited. This was amazing and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. Such a good time listening to it. But I mean, sorry if it's not for you.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yep. You're missing out though.
Girl, for real. Reflect. Reflect. For real. And then I think the fun thing about Beyonce too is thinking about what type of show she's gonna put on from this music.
Ugh.
Girl, because y'all, I promise you, even if you're not a huge fan of Beyonce's songs or whatever, there's nothing like seeing a Beyonce performance live. Like, she will put on a show. She shows out every single time. She brings 100% effort. Like, if you have not watched Homecoming on Netflix, it is a whole experience. Like, go watch it. Get your life. Get a taste of what it's like to be at a Beyonce concert.
And then start saving so you can go.
Period.
But like, Beyonce is one of those artists, like, you have to.
And
Bruno's like that. He puts on the show. Gaga.
Absolutely.
Like, there's artists that you're like, if they are in your city or close,
go
get the ticket.
Literally. I don't care if you don't know a song. Go be just in the building. Because it's an experience and not like nothing else. Literally like nothing else. So, shout out to Beyonce. We love you, girl.
I know. Thank you. Thank you.
For real. Thank you. We don't deserve us in this ghetto planet. Do not deserve you, but you keep on giving. So, and we definitely got to name this episode one of Beyonce songs. We'll argue about which song to rename it after once we done recording. But yeah, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. If you haven't already, check us out at plannersandwine.com. Find out more information about our Patreon. We have a Patreon meetup this week for our VIPs, and then we have some other fun stuff going on for the rest of the month, such as our live episode recording and our Facebook Live that we do in our exclusive Facebook group. So yeah, check out the Patreon. Myra, did you have anything that you want to add?
No, I think you, yeah, this comes out Thursday. Mm-hmm. Our meetup isn't the next day, Friday. So you got 24 hours, girl.
Yep.
To sign up and come on.
You do.
VIP.
VIP. Yeah, we would love to meet you. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, we hope y'all have a great week. Happy August, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Bye, guys.